This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us on a fine trash Tuesday. Get your trashes in at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up this hour, Houston Nutt will join us in about 17 minutes from now. We'll talk to him about the college football playoff. And then later on in the hour, Bob Glauber is going to join us, NFL columnist. He has written a new book about the three geniuses of the 80s coaching circles, Parcells, Walsh, and Gibbs, and how the after effects of those three guys actually was in play last night for Rams and Chiefs and the modern-day NFL. Also, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico, geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. After last night's thriller, 54-51, the Rams get a crazy shootout style victory to move to 10-1 over the Chiefs. The question is, for as sublime as the offense was, for as beautiful as the quarterbacking was, mostly a couple of bad turnovers by Patrick Mahomes, the officiating was equally as bad. And if you had to watch last night's game, I hope you were in the stadium or listening on radio, because the television broadcast, once again, was a disaster. And I don't say this with any glee. Just because it's a competing network, this has nothing to do with me rooting for them to fail. This is just my cold, hard, unbiased opinion. They're getting worse. What ESPN attempted to do was capitalize on Cowboys' popularity. Because Tony Romo became very popular, because Troy Aikman is very popular, because Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin and Moose Johnston, Darren Woodson have all made pretty seamless transitions into broadcasting. The idea by ESPN was, well, let's get a Cowboy in there. Cowboys are very, very popular. Cowboys have a high Q rating. They're familiar. And Jason Witten's a good guy. And that's what they went with. And Jason Witten is a good guy. And Jason Witten will be a Hall of Famer. And as you see all of these networks get off on having Hall of Famers as their analysts, because they act as though, well, these are the most important voices. Which is why I really appreciate that CBS gave Nate Burleson that forum. Because he's one of the best, and he's not going to the Hall of Fame. That's why I think Chris Collinsworth deserves the number one booth. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's the best, to me, top-tier analyst. They put Jason Witten in that booth, assuming popularity and liking the guy. Likeability factor would mean that he makes the fit. Guys, Jason Witten is swimming in water way too deep for his skill set. That right there is one of the best football games we have seen in years. That right there is one of the most important football games we've had in years. That right there might be the most memorable Super Bowl preview in years. And Jason Witten belongs on the fifth or sixth broadcast at 1 p.m. on a Sunday. And again, I don't say this because I want to take a shot at a competing network. But when you hear Jason Witten basically talk himself into nowhere, not make any pointed observations, just kind of talk because, well, after a play, the color analyst is supposed to talk, continually rely on verbal crutches like, boy, Mahomes would like to have that throwback. Yeah, you know what? Andy Reid would like to have that play call back. Yeah, you know what? Jared Goff would really like to have that throwback. When you hear him continually talk himself into nowhere, have a very thin voice itself, so it's not a commanding presence on TV, never say anything actually notable, and use verbal crutches time after time, you realize he doesn't belong in that spot. And I don't know if Tessitore is trying to overcompensate for how boring and bland and lame Witten is, but Tessitore is now going into Jim Ross WWE territory in overselling everything and growling with his voice on every play. It's like, hey, Monday Night Crew, we know this is a big game. You don't have to sell this one to us. It's 9-1 versus 9-1. You don't have to oversell this. And I don't know if Booger is trying to overcompensate as well. Last night, Jason Witten said, without being challenged, we all know touchdowns mean more on Monday night. As opposed to what? First downs are the priority on Thursdays? We know that field goals are the most important thing on Sundays? You need touchdowns, they just mean more on Monday night. Pretty sure touchdowns mean exactly the same thing no matter when you're playing, Jay. No matter what time slot you're in, no matter what broadcast you're on, touchdowns are kind of important. And it's littered with awful football cliches and guys just in over their head. The only thing that was worse last night than the broadcast were the refs. Which is amazing because in this specific game, the NFL made a change so that the refs wouldn't be the problem. The NFL, in one of the most rare circumstances ever, made an all-star team of officials for this game, knowing it was this big on national TV. They didn't want the refs to be in the middle of a mistake. And so they assembled, essentially, an all-star referee team. It was the combination of four different crews. And what did we get? One of the worst officiated games of the NFL season. Exactly what they tried to prevent blew up in their face. Why? Think about it. Do all-star teams have the best chemistry? Especially if they have no practice time? They should have went with the best crew. Think about it. Let's take a producer from a show here on CBS Sports Radio and a host from a different show and the board op from a different show and the update person from a different show and then combine them together for one show that dictates whether we win the Marconi Award. How ridiculous would that be? All right, so Mraz, you're going to be producing Jim Rome's show and we'll have Bill Ryder producing the back end of it, and perhaps we'll have Stu on the board, and then maybe Amy will be doing updates, or Berman's doing updates. We'll just smash everything together into one potluck show, and that will be the show that dictates whether we win the biggest award in the industry. Cool, everybody? Oh, and by the way, no practice time. You will have no shows to prepare for. Everyone just gets clumped together 4 days or 5 days before, and you will have no practice shows. It's inane. Last night, the Chiefs, 13 penalties. 13. The Rams ate 21 penalties in that game. And how many reviews that should have not been reviews? Mraz, we were talking about this before the show. I mean, the fumble that is clearly a Mahomes forward pass that's deflected. How are we even trying to review this?
If his arm came any more forward, it would have hit the ground on the way down. The idea that you put together an all-star referee crew and they just allow replay to take over in that spot. If you're allowing replay to take over, then why are we putting together this crew? Because anybody can let replay take over.
What was worse, the booth or the refs?
It's still the booth. It's hard for...
Wow, as bad as the refs were.
I never thought I was going to hate this. I was intrigued by this crew when it was put together. Every week that goes by, I want to take my 55-inch TV and just smash it over my leg and go to bed. It is awful. Awful. Across the board, too. It's not like I'm pinpointing one person. The whole thing stinks.
What's the worst part about it?
Other than the music halftime shows every week?
Oh, man.
I mean, jeez. At least we finally got to see the Chainsmokers perform in person last night and not just a music video.
How about how you have the best Monday night football game in years, and instead of being able to analyze the most wild first half of the season, we have to go to the Chainsmokers? Like, talk about undoing all the great stuff that you can talk about. You've just undermined your whole broadcast. Like, and let's avoid talking about what you just watched because we've got the Chainsmokers.
It would be like us on a Thursday, like instead of previewing college football games, having somebody come in here and just sing instead of analyzing what's ahead of us on a big weekend.
It's like having Art Garfunkel in a football
right,
Friday.
Right, right. You know? Or it's like Huge Freeze in here every week. No, but seriously, I agree. That's ridiculous aside, but it's got to be, it makes me cringe because I respect this guy's career. Jason Witten stinks. He just stinks. And as excitable as Tessitore can get when it doesn't need it, and as bad as Booger McFarland and his hovercraft is and being so seemingly uneducated on the current game, Jason Witten, you would be better off having like literally a teaspoon of vanilla extract just sitting there next to Tessitore, you know, bubbling under some baking soda than anything that comes out of the mouth of Jason Witten. It's terrible.
If Jason Witten called Raiders Cardinals over the weekend, I'd be like, okay, you're trying to work out some kinks with Witten, and he needs like 3 years of this.
Right. He'll figure it out and do whatever he has
maybe,
to do.
Maybe. But maybe he always remains on the Cardinals and the Raiders game. Maybe he's just the Colts-Titans guy. Maybe that's just what he is.
Put him with Chris Myers, and then let's see. We'll get a Buck-Jaguar game, and away we go.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Like, he should be on Bucks-Niners, and then you let him make his mistakes in the middle of the day on a Sunday. He is swimming over his head, and he can't swim. That's the problem. He's thrown in the deep end. He can't swim.
Can I get a take on somebody being open over the middle, Witten? You did it your whole career. 3 hours. I didn't hear that once yesterday.
He'd like to have that one back. He'd like to have that one back. He'd definitely like to have that one back. Can you give me anything else, Jay? Anything? On a Trash Tuesday, Jason's in Idaho listening to 93.1 KTIK. Jay, what are you trashing?
Well, it's not me. It's my daughter and son. They want to trash their school district for making them go to school on Monday and Tuesday. Get them out.
Okay. Poor kids have off Thursday, Friday, apparently Wednesday as well. Don't make them go to school on Monday and Tuesday.
Forget learning.
McCoy is next up in Baltimore, listening on 1300 to CBS Sports Radio. McCoy, who are you trashing?
And I'm trashing all the old ladies that sit in the store at the lottery line, play like 7,000 lottery tickets. I got to sit behind them and wait like 15, 20 minutes just to play my little one. If there ain't no other clerk or no other lottery machine, I'm straight screwed for the day. Thanks for taking a call.
Trash them. Mike is next up in Abilene, Texas at 98.1, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Mike, who are you trashing?
D.A., my man, I have got to trash the Cleveland Browns. Just when you think that they switched their focus from being the most dysfunctional sports organization in the history of the world, they make bold announcements like they're going to hire a politician for their head coach. Is there any more proof that the league is fixed? Like, what is the point of having a Cleveland Browns team if this is what you're going to do? It's football, guys. It's not just willy-nilly, hey, let's grab a headline here and there. They fired their head coach. That was a great move. They got Baker. They got some life in there. And now let's just take all the life we've mustered up and squash it and choke it out by hiring Condoleezza Rice for our head coach. No disrespect to her as a person, as a leader, whatever. But you're not a football coach.
You bought your way into the college football committee because you like to watch college football, so you think your opinion matters. And now you're going to be a head coach in the NFL. This makes me vomit a little bit in my mouth. I also have to trash Mraz.
Trash him. Mike wanted to trash Mraz so bad, he hung up on himself. Here's the thing about Condoleezza Rice. Even she knew she wasn't qualified. Did you see her statement? She's like, look, I'm not ready to be a head coach. So I don't know where this story came from. I almost drove off the road yesterday when Jim Rome said, what, was Henry Kissinger not available? Kissinger turn you down, Browns? When we come back, Houston Nutt joins us here on the show. We'll talk about the college football playoff rankings and where we might be headed for the final four after this upcoming week in college football. And we'll get back into the Rams and Chiefs after that with Bob Glauber from NFL columnist and Newsday and the author of a new book about where the NFL used to be and where it is now. So a lot to get to this hour football-wise, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I'm still going strong from last night. I'm still have that reserve, the experience, the energy that I felt. So I'm still reflecting on that. That's pushing me through here.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Last night's Rams and Chiefs game will have that effect on you. Glad you're back with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Check us out at SiriusXM Channel 206. We are on all across this great country and into Canada as well on the CBS Sports Radio Network. Check out our affiliate in your neck of the woods. If we don't have an affiliate in your neck of the woods, that's okay, or you're on the go. SiriusXM Channel 206. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done. How about Andrew Luck? 23-29 for nearly 300 yards and three touchdowns as Indy stomps the Titans 38-10. The Colts get to 500, 5-5, two games back of the Texans, first place in the AFC South. Luck is now 10-0 all time against Tennessee. How about that? They've never lost. Andrew Luck has never lost to the Titans. Luck was not sacked for the fifth straight game, which is pretty amazing. That's the fifth longest streak since sacks became official in 1982. Think about how many bad offensive lines Andrew Luck has played behind, and now he's playing behind an excellent one. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Joining us here on the show, let's talk about tonight's upcoming college football playoff rankings and where we stand going into the final regular season game for so many schools. And our friend, college football analyst, and of course, former head coach in the NCAA, analyst for the CBS Sports Network, Houston Nutt. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Good morning.
I think the biggest game of the weekend ended up not being the most exciting game, but that was what Notre Dame did to Syracuse, two top 15 teams. After seeing what Notre Dame did to the Orange, where do you place them in terms of best teams in the country? Are they three? Do they belong in a conversation with Alabama and Clemson? Are they under Michigan? Where do you put them?
You know, I've got a lot of respect for Notre Dame, but as far as the number, you know, I'm still thinking 3 and 4 is probably about right now. But, you know, to me, playing Michigan on the field has to mean something. And if that during that time, they beat them. And so that to me, has to meet stand for something. Otherwise, we shouldn't play games. So I think it's good right where they are. I've always, in my mind, been a little partial. I think Alabama, and then there's a separation as long as Tua Tagovailoa is healthy. But that's what's exciting about as we turn the corner and we get into the end of November. It's just fun. I'm looking forward to Michigan, Ohio State to really see what happens there. And, of course, Iron Bowl, Alabama, Auburn. You always expect Alabama to win right now. But, hey, you know, this ball bounces funny sometimes. You never know.
If Notre Dame and Michigan were to play now, do you think there'd be a different outcome? They play the opening weekend of the season when Notre Dame won.
You know, I do think it'd be different. I think Michigan's much improved. Their defense has always been pretty steady, but I think the improvements because of Caron Higdon and Shea Patterson getting more comfortable, I really truly believe that Michigan, I would like to see that again. I guess I'll say it that way, because I think Michigan is a lot better than they were back in September.
Houston Nutt is our guest this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Ohio State nearly got knocked off by Maryland. Ohio State's defense has just been so bad. Do you think Michigan will take advantage of that and end up winning in the horseshoe this weekend?
Well, I do. I do know this, though. I feel like Ohio State will, they're going to put their best effort for, you know, forth. I believe that. We know there's a lot of athletes there, but I just think the physicality in the trenches, in the offensive line and defensive line of Michigan, I think it will win out. I really do. I have a lot of respect for Dwayne Haskins and the plays that he can make with his arm, and to those athletes he has as some of the weapons that he has. I just think it's going to be a good game, but I think in the end, I think Michigan can run the ball better, and I think they can stop the run better.
What do you make of the apparent physical pain that Urban Meyer seems to go through on a weekly basis on the sideline? As a former coach yourself, is it difficult to watch him kind of constantly grimacing and grabbing his head and nearly going down on all fours?
Yeah, you know, I didn't watch every play and see the sideline annex that much that everybody's talking about. You know, I've gone against Urban Meyer, and you know, I don't remember him doing it that much during the time that I was there in the SEC. I was there in the SEC for 14 years and went against Urban quite a bit. You know, I hope he's okay. Hope health-wise he's okay. That's the most important thing.
Les Miles taking the Kansas job. Can Les get it done at a place where so few have ever been able to be successful?
Les Miles. Well, you know, the one thing that we know about Les is, you know, he's been a winner. He's been a winner wherever he's been. And he's done some good things. He's won a national championship and won more games at LSU than anybody. So you just know with a personality, you'd think it will give Kansas a chance. But he's got his work cut out for him. There's no question about it. You got to do a tremendous job of recruiting. And there's been a lot of coaches, as you mentioned, come through there and that couldn't get it done.
Oklahoma, Washington State right now are 6-7. They're both one-loss teams that could be on the outside looking in for the college football playoff. Which one of those two teams do you think are better, the Sooners or the Cougars?
I love Kyler Murray. I love the offense that Oklahoma has. They go down the field, seems like, with ease. I just think Washington State with Gardner Minshew, who are also a very unbelievable quarterback, I think Washington State's defense is better. And the way they turn the ball over and get the ball back to their offense, I would probably lean a little bit that way. And I probably wouldn't have said that in September because I didn't know. I always thought Oklahoma would be better. But after watching all year long, I would tend to lean with Washington State right now.
Hmm. Houston Nutt joining us this morning here on the show. What do you think about UCF? Right now they're ranked number 8 in the country. They had their chance last Saturday night on national TV. College game day was there. They moved to 10-0. Do you advocate for an expanded playoff where a team like UCF could get in to a college football playoff?
You know, I have. Here's what I feel. I feel like when somebody wins a conference championship and they win their conference championship, I think that means a great deal. And you know, like last year, I think it was Penn State or whatever. Somebody got left out. They won their championship. And I think when you win your championship, you should be there. And then when you have the five, the big guys that you have five champions, I would love to see three at large with the three next best teams. And to me, that would help a team like UCF that has done just a remarkable job since last year, beating Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Just continues right on winning. Mackenzie Milton just been outstanding, a coach on the field that knows where to go with the football. And so I just feel as though, you know, these guys, you know, probably deserve a chance. But the way it is right now, it's going to be very hard for Central Florida, UCF, to get in the final four.
Check out college football's best coverage, Inside College Football, on CBS Sports Network as we head into the final regular season week for so many college football teams, and then the bowl season and college football playoff season with Houston Nutt and the crew over at CBS Sports Network. Coach, it's always good to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You got it. My pleasure. When we come back, more on that Chiefs and Rams game from last night. Bob Glauber has been covering the NFL for decades. He's also written a book called Guts and Genius about the three coaches who dominated the NFL in the 80s, Walsh, Parcells, and Gibbs, and what's the effect those three guys had of the game that we saw last night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no-sweat pants at work zone.
Would you get off of Rich Ackerman? Keep Andrew Bogish's name out your mouth, Bradley.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Full episodes are available on iTunes. Search DA CBS. You'll find us there. Full episodes available of this show, the PGP. Also, Sunday Morning Football, or go on demand to our website. All audio is available there, daoncbs.com. Food, family, and fantastic football. It's a legendary rivalry between the Bears and the Lions. The tradition continues Thanksgiving Day with coverage beginning at noon Eastern, only on CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Our next guest has covered the NFL for decades. He's a NFL columnist for Newsday. He's also the author of a new book called Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate the NFL in the 1980s. He's Bob Glauber, dropping on by after last night's thriller on Monday Night Football. Bob, good morning.
Damon, how are you, man?
I'm great, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing, man? I'm doing great.
I'm good.
Doing great. Last night,
that was quite a night last night. Huh? I've never seen anything quite like that.
Last night was a total thrill. Were you watching it excited because we were watching two of the best offenses go toe-to-toe, or did you grimace because there was no defense being played?
I try not to be the guy who is, hey, get off my lawn, kids. I really do. And I love the NFL, and I've loved it for a long time. I did miss a little defense. There were a few key defensive plays, but, you know, it's video game football, and it was, you know, you just appreciate that for what it is, and you see more of that in the NFL today. All the rules are geared toward helping the offenses, and listen, offenses are legitimately better in today's day, and coaching is great, and it's awesome. It was a fun game to watch. I don't know that I'd like to see that all the time, and you know, you obviously don't, especially in playoff type situations when you get the better defenses in there. Well, those teams are going to be in the playoffs, and you know, you're going to get some shootout-type football and throw in the Saints as well. And, you know, every team seems capable of having those shootouts. But it was a fun game. But, yes, I did miss a little bit of defense.
Out of those two teams last night, whose defense is the bigger vulnerability in trying to get to a Super Bowl?
That's a good question. And I would say the Chiefs are a little bit more vulnerable. They did get Justin Houston back, and I think that's a big difference. And he did make a huge play there in the sack, force fumble that led to a touchdown. I think the Rams are probably a little bit more reliable in this respect. Their personnel is very, very solid. The addition of Dante Fowler helped. Marcus Peters made a lot of big plays last night. He, you know, he gets a little bit used in coverage. The key to me is if Aqib Talib can get back from the ankle problem in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, they said it was an 8-week injury, and we're in that area right now. He is so reliable as a shutdown corner, it changes Wade Phillips' defense. And so I would say the addition of Talib in time for the playoffs makes the Rams' defense just a little bit better than the Chiefs.
NFL columnist Bob Glauber is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Last night, Patrick Mahomes was brilliant, but then also threw three interceptions and lost a couple of fumbles. How much responsibility does Mahomes have to take on the losing side of last night?
Damon, I think he's got to take a good share of it, and he did just that. After the game, he basically said, you know, it's my fault. The turnovers, they can't happen like that. The fumbles, a little bit more avoidable in that situation than perhaps the interceptions. You know, you throw in late and you're desperate to try to get in position for either a field goal or a touchdown, and a couple of those picks late were unfortunate. One of them looks like his arm got hit, or the ball got, you know, the trajectory of the ball definitely got impacted by the pass rush. So I think it's definitely on him. And, you know, we're still talking about a guy in his first year as a starting quarterback. It's incredible that he puts up those kind of numbers, and we gotta get on his case for turnovers. But, you know, he owned up to it, and he was responsible for those turnovers, and that really was the difference in the game. I believe it was 21 points that the Rams scored off turnovers, and that's going to kill you in this league.
Can the Rams beat the Saints in a playoff game, which they were unable to do a couple of weeks ago in the regular season?
Well, tell me where it is, and I'll tell you who will win. Because I really think that if it's in L.A., the Rams would win, and if it's in New Orleans, I think I give the Saints the edge. I think, you know, home field advantage is much less of a factor in today's NFL than it used to be, but I think in this case it would absolutely be a factor. You also got to look at, I'm trying to figure out whether the Saints defense is for real. Given up 21 points in the last two games, but you know they've played inferior competition in that spot. But I do think Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, has done a nice job in getting that defense, you know, back to playing decent football. And at times dominating, you know, depending on the competition. They went into Cincinnati last week and just buried the Bengals. It was pathetic on the Bengals' part. So I do think that the Saints kind of have that mojo going, that Super Bowl type feel to them. And I think it would be, I don't want to say a layup if they played the Rams in New Orleans, but I think they'd beat them in a playoff situation. And I think that the Rams would get the advantage. If that game is in L.A., you slow down the Saints a little bit on that grass track, and you get a little bit more advantage. And if you have Tlaib back in the lineup, I think that's a big, big difference there.
Bob Glauber, longtime NFL columnist, joining us this morning here on the show. You just wrote a book, Guts and Genius, about the three greatest coaches of the 80s and three of the greatest of all time, Gibbs, Walsh, and Parcells. You just said something which piqued my interest. Why do you think yesteryear, this era, the 80s, home field advantage was more dominant than it is now?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think the answer is mostly free agency. And I think free agency has kind of, I don't want to say watered down, but it's made it more even around the league. Back in the 80s, you know, you could basically keep teams together. And Walsh, Gibbs, and Parcells had the advantage of coaching essentially the same team year after year. The free agency rules were very much against players. You could keep teams together. You paid your highest, you know, your most valuable players, and they got their money, but, you know, you couldn't move. So the advantage was you have these rivalries and you have these competitions from year to year, and you know what you're getting. And I think that the familiarity created those kinds of rivalries. I was talking the other day to somebody. I was like, what's the greatest rivalry in today's NFL? And I couldn't really come up with it. And it's kind of a stunning, you know, it's not an indictment, but it is what it is. You know, it's just from year to year, things change so much. But back then, you know, you could keep teams together. And I think the home field played more of a role then because it was just such a, you know, they were so familiar. And it was like, okay, the Redskins were great at home and the Giants were great at home. And, you know, that generally was the difference in those kinds of series. And same with the 49ers-Giants. I mean, Bill Walsh got crushed by Bill Parcells 2 years in a row in playoff situations. And I think the free agency has enabled teams to kind of make it more even in this league. And that's why you see these, you know, worst-to-first type jumps every year by some team in the NFL.
Offense changed for the NFL in the 80s, and guys like Walsh and Gibbs were reasons for that. I think about last night and all the offense that we saw that would kind of never happen that long ago. But last night, were there traces of these two guys, maybe specifically Bill Walsh, since Bill Walsh was the head coach who handed things down to Mike Holmgren and then Andy Reid learned under Mike Holmgren in Green Bay? Did we see some of the roots of Bill Walsh last night?
No question. No question, Damon. I was thinking about that myself. Obviously, you know, I'm thinking in those terms because of what I wrote, but Bill Walsh created the greatest coaching tree, not only in the NFL, but in the history of pro sports. And both Andy Reid and Sean McVay are from that tree. And I think Bill Walsh, looking down on that game, would have kind of smiled and said, good. Now play a little defense, because he was, you know, Bill was, he didn't get good until his defense got good, but he was able to play spatial football and coach spatial football in that he could get open spaces and create open spaces, and it was incredible. And that game was all about open spaces last night. The coverage, those offense dictated to those defenses, and that was the difference. So absolutely an impact from Walsh in this case, and those two coaches are indirect descendants of Bill Walsh, but still he's the guy who kind of started it, taught Mike Holmgren, who taught Andy Reid, what Shanahan down to Gruden, and Gruden was not quite a direct descendant of Walsh, but he handed it down to Sean McVay, and it's just kind of this nice continuum of coaching, excellence that still lives on to this day. It's amazing.
So the spread concepts that are all over college football and now into the NFL as well, you're mentioning space, and that is Bill Walsh. What is the lasting legacy of Joe Gibbs in his mind in modern football?
You know, Damon, Joe Gibbs' coaching tree was not good. And I think it's a testament to how brilliant he was. He had a great staff, Richie Pettibone, Joe Bugel was a great offensive line coach. Both of those guys got chances to be head coaches. Pettibone lasted a year in Washington, and Bugel lasted a couple of years in Oakland and Arizona. But they weren't able to kind of continue the legacy of Joe Gibbs. And I think it was just this, he kind of captured that thing in that era, in that 11-year period. He won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks who never went to the Hall of Fame and never got close to the Hall of Fame. And brilliant tactician, and I don't know that you see all the kinds of max protect concepts from Joe Gibbs. This is it's a freewheeling NFL game now. But I do think what Joe Gibbs did, and that continues today, is that he imagined things differently than what was going on at that time. He was an innovator, and he took what defenses were doing, and he reacted to it, and was able to kind of build a better mousetrap. And he did it in brilliant fashion, to the point where you could argue, based on those three different quarterbacks and winning three different Super Bowls, you could argue that he's the greatest coach of all time, because every other coach on the Mount Rushmore of coaches had that one quarterback. Belichick had Brady. Lombardi had Bart Starr. Bill Walsh had Joe Montana. All of them had that one quarterback, except for Joe Gibbs.
Bob Glauber joins us. Really cool book he's got, Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who dominated the NFL in the 80s, Parcells, Walsh, and Gibbs. I want to wrap up with this with about a minute left. Do you consider Bill Belichick a Bill Parcells disciple? I know he's a longtime assistant, but there's a lot of differences between them, and they certainly clashed quite a bit during their coaching careers.
There's no question he's a disciple. And, yeah, they had their differences, there's no question. And Parcells was very hard on Belichick. But I did talk to Belichick about Parcells for this book, and he gives a lot of credit to Bill Parcells for making him the kind of coach he is today. Listen, Belichick did this on his own, and every coach, every championship coach does it on their own. It's not like, Bill Walsh, made Mike Holmgren a great head coach, who made Andy Reid a great head coach. These guys do it on their own. But the foundational theories that Parcells used to build the Giants were absolutely carried over by Bill Belichick, and there's a lot of similarities there. So, yes, they did have their differences, but I think that Parcells, especially in the latter part of his run with Belichick, started teaching him about what it takes to be a head coach and kind of imparted the lessons that Parcells got from other head coaches that he worked for. So, yeah, there's no question in my mind that Bill Belichick is a direct disciple and descendant of Bill Parcells, and that tree has kind of taken on its own roots and branches, and that continues today. It's really every coach, Damon, every single coach in today's NFL can trace their roots back to either Bill Parcells or Bill Walsh. Mm. Incredible, all
wow.
32, and that includes Greg Williams, who replaced Hugh Jackson. So it's amazing. I mean, and it's not fake. It's just that's the truth.
That's extraordinary. Bob Glauber joins us, longtime football authority, columnist for Newsday. New book is out, Guts and Genius, the true story of three unlikely coaches who dominated the NFL in the 80s, and that'd be Parcells, Walsh, and Gibbs. Great stuff, Bob. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much, Damon. Appreciate you having me.
You got it, man. Bob Glauber joining us this morning. Very cool conversation. Following last night's Rams and Chiefs game. By the way, our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. So coming up, let's break down last night's Chiefs and Rams game. Did we just see a Super Bowl preview? I still am trying to get over the calculus of last night. First of all, that's the first time any team has ever scored 51 points and lost. First time ever. Team has scored 51 points and lost. The Chiefs scored 51 points and punted three times. The Chiefs scored 51 points and turned the ball over five times. Those are not supposed to be two things that can happen at the same time. They're supposed to be excluding one another. You can't score 51 and turn the ball over five times. But it happened last night. What you saw last night has never, ever, ever, ever happened before. Is that good? Is it bad? And did we just see a Super Bowl preview? We'll get to that coming up here next. 855-212-4CBS, plus more of your trashes in a Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.